Hello and welcome back to Bloody Bizarre.
My name's Emma.
I'm Sarah.
And yes, indeed, welcome back.
Great input there.
Yeah.
I've just come in and we've realised that I am wearing head-to-toe clothes that Emma's given me. So I'm wearing her shoes, her dress, her hat that she's given away. I didn't even notice until I got here.
I used to have a friend that didn't want to give away clothes because they didn't want to see someone else wearing the clothes that they'd given away.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it.
You kind of get it. Are now. You like jealous?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I'm making them look so good.
I don't know about that. But also, it's like, I also know that I wouldn't have worn them. Because I mean, look at you.
That's rude.
Yeah, so look, we're in the final stretch for the year.
This will be the second last episode.
This is the penultimate episode. Mm-hmm. And I've got a doozy for the final one, but that's not why we're here today.
No, I've got one. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's a love or hate episode.
I bet it's going to be a hate. anyone you want to shout out at the top, though? Hang on.
Oh, yes. Okay. I do want to say thank you to listener Kindle.
Yeah.
We were number one in her Spotify Wrapped for podcast
our
listens.
Our first Spotify. No, it wasn't our first, but.
No, we had one last year. Yeah.
But thanks, Kindle. That's really cool. Isn't she from the US?
Not sure.
Kindle, let us know where you are and if you want a shirt.
Not this again.
Because I think number one is. Whoa. I think number one in Spotify Wrapped deserves a free shirt. So get in touch and let us know where you are. Not because I want your address.
I was going to say, that sounds super creepy.
Yeah,
look. I had to ask another, who was it? There was somebody else who's been listening to us for a bit who we sent a shirt and I had to ask her address and I felt like such a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, what's your address? Because she was Perth-based as well. Oh, so yeah, I had to be like
we could stalk.
Yeah, like, yeah. We're not going to come over, promise.
Unless
you want
us
to, like, yeah. Girls' night, but, you know. No, we're not going to, I promise.
Yeah. Again, unless you invite us, which we wouldn't be opposed to. So, yeah, Kindle, get in touch. Let us know. If you want a shirt. If you don't, that's fine. I get it.
It's, like, not really my style.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say is, and I think we have mentioned this already, but we are doing an update episode. So we're going to take a bit of a break. Probably won't be back until, like, Feb, hey?
Yeah.
But I...
You might want to wait for the truck to go past.
Wait for the bin man.
Pause for bin.
Thank you, bin man. But we are going to do like an update episode. And I was thinking what we should do is probably go through all of the ones we've done and see if there's any updates. And I do want to do a particular focus on Ellie Warren's because that's obviously still like very contentious and there's a lot of stuff going on with it that I think we should be talking about. But I'd like to update a few of them.
Maybe we should drop that update episode in between the hiatus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and we remembered the true crime trivia today.
Let's do that.
She didn't just turn that off, did she? Because she grabbed the mic.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Baby's grabbing the mic. Emma's dropped all the cards.
Fucking hell.
It's chaos.
Yeah, it is chaos in here today. We are recording at my house today. So Sarah has baby number two with her. Sarah. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, you will know this when I say it, but I don't know if you'll know it off the top of your head.
Okay.
Alexander Litvinenko, a former Russian security official living in London, was mysteriously killed by what poisonous substance in 2006? Also, I don't know if it was mysterious at this point.
Plutonium.
No.
What?
No, but so close. It sounds almost the same. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Polonium.
Oh,
Polonium 210.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember thinking when I heard it that it sounds like polony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. okay, now take one off the top to ask moi.
Okay. Oh, this one's way too easy. Richard Ramirez, a serial killer who terrorized California in the 1980s, was known by what name?
The Night Stalker.
That is correct. Too easy.
But in my head, I was like, oh my God, I know this is so easy. Well, like, and then I was running through all the names and I was thinking like Vampire Sacramento, the Golden State Kid. Like I was running through all the like.
I did see a bit of panic in your eyes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. So today's episode is going to be probably a little bit short, which I know there's a bit of a pattern. My episodes are short, yours are long. Mine aren't well researched. I get it. It will change once I've got a little bit more free time. But
will it?
Just look, enjoy it for what it is, I guess. I'll show you my sources first because I want to like do the big reveal. Wikipedia and a book by Robert Holden, which I'll tell you the name of in a second because it'll give it away otherwise. I've long threatened to do this one, and as it's my last one for the year, thought I'd get it out of the way. I'm going to tell you about bunyips.
This one has been threatened since the beginning of this very podcast.
Yes, it has.
No one thought she was actually going to do it.
Here I am.
Here she is.
Okay, so bunyips are a human-eating monster from Aboriginal mythology. So even if you think cryptozoological creatures are silly, please keep an open mind and be respectful because this is part of Aboriginal culture and lore. So don't be a jerk. That's for you, Emma.
I know it is. And it's also like, well, I can't say anything now. You've snookered me.
I'm going to end the episode and be like, so now you believe that they're real, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with what a bunyip is not. It's not the same as a yowie, as I think you said once before. It's a totally different creature that was thought to primarily live in waterholes, lakes, and rivers. As discussed in a previous episode, yowies are more like a big ape-like creature, like a Bigfoot sort of thing. So that's different from a bunyip.
If you want to know what a yowie is, go back to episode whatever the fuck.
Yeah, we can't be bothered going and checking what it is. It would take 2 seconds, but...
Hey.
I have to say, I think that's probably going to be picked up.
I think so too.
There's going to be a jingle jangling of keys.
Sorry about the keys noise. It's Christmassy. Bit of Christmas flair. It's not the same as like jingle bells, but you know, it's keeping the baby busy, so... The name bunyip is thought to have come from the Wemba Wemba or Wergaya language of the Aboriginal people of Victoria. The word is roughly translated to evil spirit. The first time the word was used in print was 1812, when an article was published in the Sydney Gazette in which they talked about a seal-like creature with a terrible voice.
That's rude.
Which is quite funny. I mean, like, it's not like they were like, it had a roar. It's like it had a bad voice.
Yeah, like, it sang like shit. Yeah.
Don't quit your day job, bunyip.
It was fat and it sang bad.
There's also a theory that the word bunyip was a catch-all term used by Aboriginal people before colonisation to describe a number of monsters. So if that were the case, it would include the yowie.
Oh, look at that.
But the yowie is a different thing. You know?
So is you.
So it's like a not all yowies. No, not all bunyips are yowies, but all yowies are bunyips. Yeah, but the general consensus is they are completely different things.
This is like my saying, not all...
the birds?
Yeah. Not all naughty birds are galahs, but all galahs are naughty birds.
This is one of Emma's famous life philosophies.
I'd love to hear people if they think I'm wrong.
It's true.
It is true.
They are very naughty birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can play with that. Now the baby's playing with a bag, so you're going to have that funny noise in the background. Okay, so on that note of the
birds.
Word potentially... The word potentially, like, being a catch-all term. Let's take a moment to appreciate how much culture and how many stories have been lost because of the lack of respect for Aboriginal culture in the past, because... What has potentially happened with some of this information around the bunyip is that white settlers or white colonists, I don't know what the appropriate term is.
Colonizers.
Yeah. Misunderstood the Aboriginal people in things that they were telling them, and then...
I think also just fundamentally didn't want to understand.
Yeah, and then also because of things like stolen generation, stories have kind of been lost, so...
Yeah, like the passing down of stories has been cut.
Exactly.
Severed, yeah.
Yeah. Older people, older generations weren't able to pass down these stories as they should have been able to. And so we've lost a lot of that.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of guesswork and like talking to elders and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of this information is just kind of piecing together what we do know.
Mm-hmm.
We do the best with the information we do still have. So in his book, Bunyips, Australia's Folklore of Fear, Robert Holden claims that there are at least 9 separate versions of a bunyip-like creature across Aboriginal Australia. So what does it look like?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Was it you that was telling me that they're short? So, okay, then it's tall. All right. It's hairy. No, seal-like. I mean, what is the image that's in my head at the moment is Godzilla.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's very strange. There are a few different descriptions of what it looks like, and they're completely different.
Which is suggests it's maybe not real, but okay.
It kind of... It covers the breadth of the animal kingdom in terms of its characteristics. So one description that was provided by the Murundi people who lived along the Murray River in the 1800s was that it was almost like a giant starfish but also had a snout. Okay. So fucking weird.
I mean, I'm surprised that the description in the Morning Herald or whatever it was didn't also say, like, ugly.
Ugly with a bad voice and spat. Yeah.
Seal like ugly fatso with a really bad yucky voice. Disgusting, dirty sounding yucky voice.
Other witnesses have described the creature as being like a seal, like that one, between 4 and 6 feet long with a shaggy coat. They apparently have round heads resembling a bulldog. They don't have a tail or whiskers like a seal, though.
Like a dugong.
A little bit. Some people have reported it to have a longer neck and a small head, a beak, and lots of folds of skin. Another description is an alligator that stands on its hind legs. And another description, something like a hippo that comes out of the water. Another description, dog-like face but with flippers and tusks. And in 1845, in what's thought to be the first written account of the creature, it was described as follows. And there is some talk in here that is problematic. So I just want to note that it was 1845, and this is not me saying this.
You're reading a quote.
Yes. The bunyip, then, is represented as uniting the characteristics of a bird and of an alligator. It has a head resembling an emu with a long bill, at the extremity of which is a transverse projection on each side with serrated edges like the bone of a stingray. Its body and legs partake of the nature of the alligator. The hind legs are remarkably thick and strong, and the forelegs are much longer but still of great strength. The extremities are furnished with long claws, but the blacks say, that's what I'm talking about,
right.
The blacks say its usual method of killing its prey is by hugging it to death. When in the water, it swims like a frog, and when on the shore, it walks on its hind legs with its head erect, in which position it measures 12 or 13 feet in height. So that description is horrific.
Yeah, here's the thing, and here's what I think I've said multiple times in these
cryptozoological
stories. I believe that they're seeing multiple different animals, first of all, and you know, ascribing the name bunyip to them all, which it kind of still fits in with your story. Also, I think they're seeing things like platypus, for example. Now, you describe a platypus. It's a fucking weird animal.
I'm going to touch on this a little bit later.
All right.
The point you're making, I'm going to talk about that a little bit.
All right. I'll shut up then.
The bunyip was said to have had some really unique and freaky powers. So I'm going to go through them.
What a freak.
Freak. Who's going to match the bunyip's freak? So, number one, apparently it was able to control water. They apparently could dry out a creek or riverbed at will and fill it up again.
A waterbender.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Avatar.
Two, apparently it had a paralyzing roar, like literally paralyzing, like it would roar and it could paralyze people.
Like our friends, the fucking Havana syndrome.
Yes. Yep. Gosh, so many callbacks.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Wilga Waterhole, and I was going to be like, that did not paralyze people. It scared people. three, a very adept swimmer, as it was an aquatic animal.
Mm-hmm.
So think like a crocodile, how that's really fast in water and that sort of thing.
Any water animal. Yep. Got it.
Yep. Four, apparently it could hypnotize people. So I don't know how this worked, but apparently it could, like,
there's some way it could work.
Apparently it could hypnotize people.
Sure.
Number five, crush people. So this is apparently how it would kill people. It would give them like a bear hug and just crush them.
Isn't that how like gorillas do it or something?
Oh yeah, I think so. I'm sure I've heard that before.
I've heard it somewhere for something. If it's not gorillas, it's something else.
Yeah. So there are obviously skeptics, and some theories have been suggested to explain the origin of the story of the bunyip. So in 1933, Charles Fenner, I don't know who he is. They mentioned him like it was like the Charles Fenner, but I don't know who he is.
And you didn't bother looking him up?
No.
Do you want me to?
Yeah. See who he is.
Fucking hell. So this is the kind of shoddy work that I'm talking about. Charles Fenner. Geologist and naturalist.
Okay. Cool. Lots of people are.
Yeah, right. He was around until 1955.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, a famous teacher.
Right. So the Charles Fenner had this to say.
Sorry, Charles Albert Edward Fenner.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Put some respect on it.
Exactly.
Okay. He suggested that seals have occasionally made their way into waterways like the Murray River. So someone seeing one for the first time or seeing one very quickly may have been frightened and been like, what the fuck is that? If they've never seen a seal before.
You know who has a seal head?
Who?
Your dog, Patchy.
Yeah, he does. He's like a cute little, like that little bit in the middle.
Yeah. And so like them saying, oh, it had the head of a dog.
Yes, yeah, seals and dogs, they do tend to have very...
And you know what? Oh, I'm thinking of The Simpsons.
What?
I was going to say seals bark, but it's just that episode of The Simpsons where the judge has the seal...
Sea lions have a like kind of weird... They do kind of roar.
Roar, yeah.
Yeah. The other possibility, and this is kind of what you were touching on before, is around the time of colonization, a bit of confusion in terms of... like what animals were being seen. So like you said, if people came over here and had never seen a platypus before and then saw a platypus, or even like
a kangaroo,
so many weird animals.
I mean, I guess you'd see ostriches before, but
yeah, that's like, what I was going to say about crocodiles. They would have seen alligators before.
Yeah. But there's so many weird, like,
there are lots of weird animals.
Freaks.
Yeah, there's freaks here.
Yeah.
Present company included. So it's, you know, potentially they've seen something like that and been like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then not been able to, or, you know, as you mentioned, not wanting to communicate effectively with the Aboriginal people who were already here and have not, you know, listened properly or made proper...
I often think, and this might not be a novel thought. I know that I've said that before so many times, but I don't know what I've read and what I've dreamed and what is my own thoughts anymore.
It's all a swirl.
It's like a... yeah. I at least often think this, whether or not it's from my own brain. I don't know. Look, anyway, what I'm saying is Australian animals, Australian marsupials, I think, are like if you got a Mad Libs book...
Yeah.
And then you just put in words for each extremity.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like one of those flip books. Like I've got this, Abby's got this book that's like Spot. And it's
like
got,
split into three sections and you flip over each like one like, individually.
He'll have like an astronaut head and like a cowboy body and then like fireman boots. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there could have been a bit of confusion about what they were looking at. Another possibility, and this is one that I've talked about before and that I think is quite... legitimate, is that the bunyip stories could have been passed down for so long that there once was such a creature that is now extinct. So potentially, I mean, you know, like we've talked about before, Aboriginal people have been here for, what is it now that they think, like 200,000 years or something insane. That is a long time for a lot of animals to have existed and gone extinct. Now there are some creatures that we know existed that have gone extinct. So one of them is the Diprotodon, which was a large marsupial that's thought to have gone extinct 40,000 years ago. This was a weird looking thing that kind of looked like a hippo. So like there's a few of them. I was looking through them all and they were weird looking animals and they definitely existed.
Like because of fossil proof. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it could have been one of them. It could have been something that was like a more like bunyipy sort of creature that has just never been discovered, like maybe the fossils of which have never been found, you know, like it's possible that there was something and the stories got passed down about it, but it's gone extinct now.
Okay.
And of note is that I couldn't find any like legitimate recent bunyip sightings or stories about the bunyip still existing. It seems like it was a long time ago.
Do you want me to tell you what I think?
Okay.
So I think that probably there were multiple quote-unquote bunyip sightings,
mm-hmm.
some of which being the same animal, some of which being different animals.
Yeah.
They were all then like lumped together as this magical bunyip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That would explain why there's such crazy differing like descriptions of it.
Yeah.
Like a big massive starfish is pretty different to a seal, you know?
It's really funny.
I know. The thought of a big massive starfish,
yeah.
I don't know why that's comical, but it is.
Yeah, it is very funny. Yes, obviously they're not the same animal.
Yeah, yeah.
A starfish versus a seal,
yeah,
versus a dog versus a crocodile.
Again, is why I think that it's like I think the Aboriginal people probably communicated something different to those early colonizers, and the information has been misconstrued or, you know, it hasn't been recorded properly. And so they're like, yep, this is all the same animal. When actually the Aboriginal people were like, well, this is this thing and this is this thing. We call them all bunyips, but they are different, you know, like.
Go back to the, you know, not all naughty birds are galahs, but all galahs are naughty birds. It's that kind of thing, you know. Yeah, so that's what I think. And then, yeah, obviously, like you say, some of those animals will have gone extinct. I think that sometimes, here's what I think, I reckon the platypus is a bunyip.
Oh, okay. You think
I reckon that was one of the ones they saw.
Right.
Because they're describing a billed animal that had like
flippers and fur.
Flippers, fur, claws.
Yeah.
I
wonder if it's possible that the platypus, say like 40,000 years ago, the platypus was actually huge and it's just shrunk.
Like I would love to see the evolution of a platypus and what it evolved from. And
Yeah, this is us absolutely no idea what we're talking about because probably there is some record of how it's evolved. But
of course, off the top
of my head thinking like, imagine if a platypus used to be massive and like bite people and stuff.
Yeah. Like the same way that geese do.
Yeah. Billed animals are often angry. So yeah, look, that is the bunyip. I wanted to talk about it because what is this podcast if not weird Australian things? I mean, weird things in general, but in particular, weird Australian things.
We like that's what you've made your mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. no, great. Look, thanks for telling me that.
It's okay. You now have all you need to know about bunyips.
Yeah, that's, I mean, sure.
Yeah, maybe I should get that book.
You probably should have gotten it before you did the story, but
yeah, well, again, I have zero time.
Okay, look, no one's attacking you. If you have any ideas on what the bunyip is, could be, have any stories yourself, please do write into our Instagram page.
Would love that.
Sarah is fastidiously monitoring that over there. She just pulled a face as if to say, I ain't.
I mean, yes.
She'd like to get back to it.
Yes.
It does bring her joy. I have asked her multiple times if I can have the password so that I can take
I don't have it because it's just like logged in on my phone. So I need to get it off Becky, I guess. The third sister who
has
fucked off to England and left us here to rot.
Rot in this fucking heat.
No, I love the heat, so it's what I'm fine with it. But.
Those of you who are listening in Perth, chime off in the comments how gross the heat is. Anyway, we digress.
We digress.
Thanks for listening. Once again, thanks for tuning in. Mm-hmm. Tune in 2 weeks' time when I've got a ripper of a story for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well-researched for a change. and, yeah, we'll see you then.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.